ناخذ أقل خمس ساعات. Welcome to everyone present here today, and I'm sure we are all aware of the task that we have as a committee. But I think I must say that it is one of the most challenging areas to be on mineral resources. About a week ago, we had what happened in Mpumalanga on the issue of the illegal mining and the consequences thereof, which is something that we are always faced with. It therefore says to us as a committee, the senior for an unfinished business on the impact and consequences and the effects of illegal mining in this country. In particular, if it goes to the extent of what we have identified, the establishment and entrenchment of the tariff, which leads to a loss of time in many instances. And I think it's a matter that as a committee, we need to find time to also devise mechanisms as to how much they may be closer to this incident. Linked to that, I think it's also important to, first, I know we may not necessarily all agree, to appreciate the speedy rescue that took place in Harmony. I'm raising this thing because this could have been one of the most disastrous that this country has faced. I think we need to appreciate that, the fact that so far there is not a single loss of life that has been reported. But it calls upon again all of those who are in the industry to ensure that there is maximum alert and mechanisms that can ensure that even incidents that pose a threat to life, they don't take them. So that's why I said that a balance must be made on the fact that as we speak, more than 486 workers have been rescued. That's why I'm saying the magnitude probably would have been one of the worst disasters this country that is facing. And we think that the investigation, therefore, will be able to come to the fore. And as a committee, unfortunately, it's not a choice that we have. It's a responsibility that we have that we are quite close to such incidents. And therefore, we'll be having a keen interest when the investigation is finalized to know what is it that went wrong and what mechanism. But we think it should not be a matter that is related to one step. It's to say to all those who are in the mining industry, please ensure that health and safety enjoys equal priority to every interest that you have. There is no one who must go to work and be like a soldier who goes to war. Every person who goes to work with a clear belief that wants to put something on the table. Only at war where you expect two things to happen, either you come alive or not. So we are not at war. We are generating wealth of this country. No one, therefore, should face a threat of losing life. So we want to emphasize that point, that the issue of health and safety must always be supersede every and any interest that we might have. On that note, and I'm sure Ms. Joyce, DMR, you will do your work. You will do your work. Okay. other of the members, we have an agenda in front of us. You will recall that at 12 we are meeting with the Norwegian Portfolio Committee or General. At 12, all of us are committee members. I'm not saying you must delay time until 12 or quarter to 12 or rush time and then be unavailable. All of us who are present here who are going to be meeting. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, members and everyone. I've got apologies from Honorable Malema and Advocacy. Thank you.
It is easy when you are going to join the meeting, it is still an apology. So I must be searching. Okay. Then, in terms of the program for today, it's going to be the adoption of the minutes. Secondly, it's going to be the deliberations on the reservation by the President on certain aspects of the NPRPA. And then, as I have said, we will then meet with the Norwegian delegation on the Portfolio Committee of Minerals. And then we have got an announcement and we will adjourn. Now you can see, meeting the Norwegian delegation is an agenda item, not outside the agenda. It's an agenda item, which means it's a recordable program. So the meeting will not end before. And unfortunately, because they are in delegation, they've got a program. It's unlike what we usually do to say, can they be closer and on the alert? They've got a program that they are working on, therefore we may not be able to meet them before that time. Is there any item that honorable members wants to add or any move of the agenda? Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Chair.
The problem with this because government is that I don't know, he's so primitive that he fears the mic in front of him.
I need protection against Honorable McClellan. I'd like to move for the adoption of the agenda. Second, the adoption of the agenda.
I can't meet two chiefs, except in this case, the chiefs. Okay. On the adoption of the, on the issue of the minutes, I'd like to start with question on page 1. Okay. On Is there any move of the minute?
I guess it's a matter of the writings.
We'll go then.
We're going to do that afterwards.
Yeah. I have to refer to all the minutes so that when we deal with the issues that arise, the minutes that we own. Are you moving the minutes? Any move of the minutes? Honorable Mafola.
Any for the
minutes? Any second? Okay, let's go to matter arising page 1. On page 2, Honorable
Mr. Chair, there are two matters arising on the bottom of page 2 and top of page 3. Both refer to the opinion of the Parliamentary Legal Advisor on the President's letter on the MPLDA. In my view, I think, whereas I accept both the arguments, her arguments, the procedural objections of the President are correct, I concur with those. I think her...
Can I help you on that, Honourable Madam? If the committee allows me, why don't you deal with them because it's a pregnant item after the meeting on this whole?
I'm happy to put it in as long as we're going to be talking to it, wherever you like.
Now, item 4 on the adopted agenda deals with the, it says deliberation, not even say the deliberation on the reservation by the president on the NKRC.
Wherever they go in, as long as they go in.
Okay. How are you allowed? You are deliberate. I think let me also raise this issue with honorable members. We have officially, because we're going to and fro, we have officially referred the matter that relates to us. It's supposed to be matters arising. You want to deal with two issues that matters arising. Referred for the legal opinion, the matter that relates to the state demonstrator, as to what is this committee has to do. In deliberating with the suppositor, there have been different views, and we then said, to be on the same side, let's just take this matter to get a legal opinion. The first ground is that is whether the state demonstrator is not treated as a company on its own. Secondly, is the issue that we talked about of writing a letter to the executive if you don't have power. The third one is the one that says if you write to the speaker, it does not suggest you can't make the entity accountable to you. The fourth one, it becomes more problematic, was an argument that could arise to say we wrote to you and gave you the version of our own legal understanding or legal opinion. Instead of coming to us, you are sending other people in different. We are under politics. The only issue we differ on the argument of what is supposed to be the correct procedure. So we then said, let's take the matter there, including their legal argument or legal opinion, then we will get that legal opinion. What we request from the committee is that when that legal opinion comes through, we don't wait for the committee. We ask on what is being recommended or in what is constitute the legal opinion immediately, and then we come back and report to the committee. The second one is that we felt it may not help the committee. In fact, when which now we want to put to the committee is the matter that you requested time, and we gave you a week to look on the oversight reports to the Northwest. And what we are recommending, because not all of us can sit here and draft what will constitute recommendation, is that we allow members, and I hope all of you now have heard your package that we gave you yesterday. All of the members be allowed to deliberate on the report, and based on that, the chair and the support staff will then look at the essence of what arises out of the deliberations and the report itself, and then comes back to the committee and present broadly what would constitute the recommendations for the committee. We can't do practical recommendations for you. Neither can we bring this as raw as it is without your deliberations. So we suggest that if that is an agreement, we then go through the report of the Northwest. On matters arising. Is that agreed? Do you have your copies? You want me to help you again with your copies? No, it's not proper. I hear two from you. Can you help them? You will make the problem. I suggest therefore in the meantime we are not going to leave here without finishing that part. I suggest in the meantime, once we are making copies, can we go to item 4? We will come back with the, but we will have to adopt the report, to deliberate on the report, because by next week or so, we must have finalized the report. This committee, unfortunately, is going to have a huge task on its shoulders, especially with this other way. Okay, honorable members, you will recall the In last week, we did make reference to the committee of the reservations that came from the president with regard to the MPRDA terms of the amendment proposed, and immediately we actioned that process. And you must say that there are two areas that, unfortunately, we cannot compromise. The first one is what it is to elevate one section at the expense of the other. What does that mean? It means that we will also even have in the long run, it may not be today, by the process of rounding up, by the period of rounding up the entire process, we might also be facing the challenge that what we water it down to say is just procedural may turn out to also have a substantive element in it. So all I want to make members to be aware of is that it may not necessarily be the song that we sing to be singing to say there is one that was more important than the other. But second is that we also need to give certainty. We can't sit forever with the uncertainty on this matter. And in doing so, it doesn't mean we have to jump certain stages. We will do our level best. On that note, there were four reservations that were presented to the committee. The first one is the one that we all know with regards to the codes. The second one is the one that relates to the international instrument. The third one is the one that relates to public participation with regards to processes that probably are outside the mandate of this committee. The processes of the NCOP as well as the provincial legislature. The fourth one is consultative process in relation to customer law, if we were to use that word, with regard to the National House of Traditional Leaders. And I think we must say that we were faced a huge challenge, but at the level of the committee, it's not actually what we have to deliver it on in terms of the substantive issues. It's also what could be the procedure to be followed from in processing the entire exercise. But you all asked to be given leave to consider and we can let you leave on this matter to go and consider what would be your perspective. So I thought Honorable Romario was already warming up on the matter. So can we, I assume your hand is up already. Honorable Lorena. Anything, Honorable Mandela? Okay, for now, as usual.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just to pick up again about what I was talking about a moment ago. So basically we've got four concerns of this expressed in the President's letter. Two of them procedural and two of them substantive. We agree with the procedural objections. We think those are both valid. We differ with the legal advisor who thought that the two substantive concerns of the President were not valid. We think that the opinion of the legal advisor is flawed, and I'll briefly explain why. Firstly, regarding the code, standards, and charter, the quotation from the Chatswilton judgment, the case West Cape Legislature and others versus the President of the Republic of South Africa, was an incomplete quotation. So whereas in the presentations we received, we were told that in a modern state, detailed provisions are often required for the purpose of implementing and regulating laws, and Parliament cannot be expected to deal with all such matters itself. You go on a few lines from the quotation that was given in the presentation, and you have something which is the opposite, in effect, because it says there is, however, a difference between delegating authority to make subordinate legislation within the framework of the statute under which the delegation is made, and assigning plenary legislative power to another body. So we think in this case that the President's concerns were absolutely right, that there is going to be a problem and we should look at that. On the second substantive issue regarding the violation of our international trade treaty obligations, incidentally on this, the legal advisor did not dispute that this would probably put us in violation of those international trade treaty obligations. I know that we're talking about constitutionality, but I think that's something we should all bear in mind. Nevertheless, reference was made to the Glenister judgment, which we found a bit confusing, and we suspect that the reference that was made to the Glenister judgment was making reference to the minority opinion in that judgment and not the majority opinion. The majority opinion finds that international treaties are of prime significance in interpreting the Bill of Rights. In other words, once again, we find the President's concern to be absolutely valid and something that we should be dealing with. So that's as regarding the legal opinion that we got from the law advisor. There are a couple of other points I'd just like to mention at this juncture, and they relate to our procedure going ahead and dealing with this bill. Some of you may know that after the bill was passed in the last Parliament, I petitioned the President under Section 79 of the Constitution and expressed 8 instances where we were concerned that the bill would be unconstitutional. 5 of those were procedural and 3 of them substantive. Now, some of them have been addressed by the President in his sending of the bill back to Parliament. There are 3 procedural issues which we don't think have been addressed. And the problem is that unless these are addressed, we think that the bill might once again be vulnerable to a constitutional court challenge. I'll go through them very quickly. Maybe that's 2.5 objections. I'll start with a half objection. And that was that the portfolio committee's public hearings happened before some very important changes were made to the bill. In this instance, I'm talking about the last minute changes around the 20% free carried interest for oil and gas, and additional to that, the powers given to the state to expropriate effectively the rest of any oil or gas play. So the public was not given space to comment on those. You could argue, and this is why I say it's only a half objection, you could argue that the public will have chance to comment if it goes through the NCOP processes. So that may not be an objection, simply that it wasn't, that the public was not allowed to, was not given the chance to comment on the portfolio committee deliberations. More importantly, we were very unhappy with the way that the portfolio committee captured the DA's objections to the bill. They were captured inadequately by the committee. Specifically, that if you read that record, there are words which don't appear in the English language. There's a made-up word which appears continually, which just makes no sense. So we think that's inadequate. And possibly most important of all is that we believe that provision that talks about 20% of any oil or gas play being granted to the state as free carried interest effectively amounts to a tax. Now that would give us a procedural problem, because any legislation involving the imposition of taxes is a money bill, and money bills can only be introduced to Parliament by the Minister of Finance, which obviously is not the case here. So there's three procedural grounds where we think that even if we go through a process to fix this, that we're still going to leave it vulnerable. But on top of that, there are also a couple of failures in the bill which we think are going to have to be changed anyway. One is, of course, traditional communities. We think that when this bill does go to the National House of Traditional Leaders, we're probably going to find that they object to the treatment that is given to traditional communities, their ability to object or consent to mining rights. So we think that those are going to have to be changed. We're also concerned that, and this was something that the Minister said on several occasions, that he was concerned about the impact on the oil and gas industry of the NPRDA as it stands. Now, in the President's letter to this to Parliament, he talks about four issues, but he doesn't talk about oil and gas. And if we look at the joint rules, we find, and as the committee confirmed last week, we're only allowed to discuss those four issues. And so that doesn't include oil and gas. So, as it stands, if Parliament tries to patch this bill up, we still haven't fixed oil and gas, and we're going to have to wait for a new law to be brought before us to do that. So, just to finish off with there are some other substantive issues that will make the bill unconstitutional, and these were expressed in my petition to the President. Very briefly, two things. We believe that throughout the bill, and this does relate to one of the President's objections, is the overly broad administrative discretion. And lastly, the issue relating to designated pricing, which is that the effective seizure of designated minerals amounts to expropriation, which is unconstitutional. So all of that relates to my next point, which is about procedure. And the law advisor told us that this was an unprecedented situation, where we had both procedural and substantive objections to a bill. And it seems to us that the potential pitfalls of simply trying to patch up this bill are great, and that we risk falling into a procedural problem again if we simply try and patch up where it's obviously broken. And to that end, I'd like to make a suggestion that what this committee recommends is that the bill is rescinded by Parliament and then reintroduced, a procedure which could be done relatively rapidly because most of the work has been done and we would simply have to patch up a few areas. That way we could make sure that the procedures followed were absolutely correct and that the bill was not vulnerable to a constitutional challenge on procedural grounds. So, Mr. Chair, there's a long suggestion about what could be wrong and about a possible way forward. Thank you.
Another reminder.
atunci. Vede ce trova the beginning by acknowledging the legal opinion that we received from the Parliament legal advisors. But I think on my point in looking at the issues referred by the President, they would both be substantial as well as procedural. I think on the matters that are substantial, I would want to agree with the legal opinion given to us that they would both be able to pass a constitutional matter, master. So in that regard, I think it's for us to be bold about this and test the constitutionality of it and see as to how that would go. It can only be the court that would be able to determine that process. But as again, any legal opinion will always be tested against another legal opinion. But I want to really talk to the two procedural issues where I found that the bill was shortcoming. First, in the procedural matters in the NCOP, Chairperson, we have not yet received any confirmation as to the evidence that could be provided to show that the public was able to participate in this. Given the short time that it was instituted within the NCOP, and I think that process needs to be looked at and seen as to how we could rectify that. But in terms of the National House of Traditional Leaders, I agree with the opinion that is also referred to by the President, that they need to be consulted and they also given an opportunity to participate. But I think it only resonates in that extent to have them also giving their opinion. But I think as a committee, we also need to look at the other communities that reside outside the areas that are traditionally controlled. There might be some communities that would want to also add value into this bill. Thank you, Chair. And lastly, Chair, I would not support the statement made by Honourable Lorimer of having the bill rescinded by Parliament. And I think for us it is to be able to look at the two matters in terms of the substantial issues as well as the procedural issues and refer it back to the NCOP so that we can rectify the procedural measures. I thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, for the second bite. I enthusiastically endorse what Honourable Mandela has said about communities outside of traditional communities probably wanting a say in this legislation. And I don't think they've had sufficient impact on it, and I think there's a lot of unhappiness about it. But I go back to my point. The best way for us to then include those, the interests of those communities, is to take a look at the bill again from the beginning. And as I say, I mean, we're talking about five or six areas, tops, so we're not talking about the whole bill. It's something that could be done still quite quickly.
You see, sitting here and chairing the meeting, looking at what is at hand, makes it very difficult, except if that's what parties say. The first thing is that, unfortunately, I can't reach that conclusion as someone who presides over the meeting on whether we received or not. But fear that I have is that we shouldn't pitch ourselves on one alternative. I'm not denying the point that whatever the Lord has said, but I don't also want myself to say when I see a rose fly. One of the most dangerous things is that when you reach a country farm, you put harvest. When there is a left turn and a right turn, because your intention was to go straight. Now, because there is the end of the road, the T-junction, you don't take left or you don't take right, you say, I would rather go straight, and there is no road to go straight. So I don't want to drive this meeting into a T-junction of either. The point, though, is that I think that option might be correct. As far as this is, but what we have now on the Forest Reservation, it does not even attempt to protect that possibility. I would have preferred first we deal with what the committee is expected to do. And what the committee is expected to do, and which is an issue I want to throw to the meeting, what the committee is supposed to do is to deal as to whether there is, and I'm very careful now, because as a committee, we represent another arm of the state, which is the legislature. To now rise and say, who is justified to make a declaration of what is constitutional and not constitutional? I think we need an opinion. Either that prerogative only rests with the constitutional court. I would fear a situation where we sit here and the president says very carefully and confusing issues about the constitutionality. I'm not saying it's unconstitutional. I've got reasonable issues about the constitutionality of this bill, certain aspects of this bill. And the committee will sit and say, no, don't worry, this bill is constitutional. It will pass the constitutional matter. And we make that declaration, we run the risk of tampering with another arm of the state that has got the prerogative to make that, because that judgment is for them. But also we cannot just pigeonhole ourselves and say we are not sure. It seems to me the first issue we must agree that there is a legal battle, not just on the legal correctness of the bill, but on the constitutionality of the bill. Now, I take the point that Honorable Norima says, no, the president's views are supposed to be catered for. But sitting here, with a legal opinion that says it will pass the constitutional muster. I said, mind you, it's a legal opinion, not a judgment. So only people who can make that call is the constitutional court. Now, I don't want to dismiss the issues that Honorable Norima is raising, but those issues are not a subject of the reservation. They are not alive. But my fear with the committee, I think that's the first issue we have to deal with. Besides the point that Honorable Norima was making and Honorable Nandi, is the risk of the committee making a decision or a view to a point where it may recommend a particular view or position on a matter that may come back completely differently, what will it do? For an example, if the matter goes to the NCOP processes, of which we don't have authority over, they don't want us to speak for the NCOP. All what we are, I think, the committee has to express a view is to say, maybe, why shouldn't the committee allow that? These are the two processes. And I agree they are procedural. But it doesn't mean, in my view, sitting here, their outcome can be just be interpreted as procedural. The NCOP process may come back completely unraveling this bill. I don't want to take lightly the National House of Traditional Leaders also. And I thought that's the point. Both of you, you want to skate over the surface. The reality is that on the areas of beneficiation, relationship between those who do exploration and those who are the host of what exploration will take place, we don't know what could be the outcome there. Currently, as the bill speaks, it says something else. And when it goes there, it might come and say something completely different. And if it means those two, they might be at odds with each other. Now, where I'm saying we seem to be putting ourselves on edge is that there is a risk that we may end up holding others ransom because of our own processes. I would have loved members to say, option one is this, which is the point that we can look at the decision. But currently, with what we have, that is not an issue. Because it means the committee will then have to give justification why it came to this conclusion. And I will run away from that environment when there is a procedural aspect. So I want the assistance of members in that regard on this matter. Because in my view, that option one would be to deal with the procedural matters and look at them, what is it that they are presenting, and when that process comes back, we then deliberate on the substantive issues together with what will be emerging from the public participatory process of the NCOP, and probably also take due recognition of what will be emerging from the National House of Traditional Leaders. I think it then empowers the committee to even try to accommodate some of these aspects. And maybe, I'm not saying it can't happen, maybe in the event those processes also, they say they may concur with most of you honorable members. We then say, what do we do? Because it's not now, this is the actual view that is emerging in terms of the two procedural aspects. The policy is, of course, though, I was trying to say, I don't want us to fix ourselves on this one area, effect. And I can't rule out and say that process, honorable Lorema is talking about, also, having dealt with the procedural processes, it may not arise.
Honorable Lorema, then honorable Pekinin. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I agree that we need to know clearly what the options are before us. And you just touched on something which I'm not clear of, which is a procedural matter, and that is, if we were to now let the bill go through the NCOP procedures and the National House of Traditional Leaders, and they suggested changes, would those changes come back before this committee?
Honorable Chair,
thank you very much. Chair, I think the summary that you have done is really assisting the process. And therefore, I would really propose that we follow it to the latter, because if we really finish option one, which deals procedural matters. And then if you come back to the committee again, and then you'll be able to take matters forward. I wish really to compare with that particular process, which is correct. And if I don't move away from what my colleague wants, I think that comes together. So I think let's move forward with that kind of emotion. Your company is assisting and helping this committee go forward. Thank you very much, Chair.
Look, it's to the best of my knowledge, it will come back here to the committee. The committee will have the benefit of what emerges there. If the committee, that's where the issue, if the committee doesn't agree, it then suggests we'll go for mediation. But for me, based on what we also say, it's unprecedented. The challenge will be that I don't want us to even put ourselves on it again there on a future home. When that process comes back, it will still be us, because even in any processes of mediation, they actually suggest that there are areas where you may have another determinant on how to resolve those issues. So I can't sit in here and say we may not go through a particular route. That's including one that you have initially suggested. Honourable Mander.
Mr. Fletcher. So I want Chairperson to say that